I have enjoyed being in this meeting. Have you ever been real hungry and felt like I could use an all-you-can-eat food buffet? That's the way I feel being in a camp meeting, like I've just enjoyed, and I hope it's been that way for you too. I appreciate the fact that the Lord comes down and visits His people, and that He gives us spiritual food. That there's something about a buffet like that that I can go along with my normal meals, and I still feel hungry sometimes, and I feel like I just need an all-you-can-eat buffet. And that's the way it is at camp meeting. Sometimes we can just get so full and satisfied that it helps us go on. Great. I'd like to share some thoughts with you by the help of the Lord. In John chapter 12, beginning at verse 20, there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Now these men must have been some righteous men. They came to worship God. And I don't know if they came all the way from Greece, but somehow they heard about the Lord. And they had a desire in their heart. I want to see Jesus. That's a good desire.
Yeah.
And they must have told somebody, and, well, I don't necessarily know him, but I can tell you somebody who does, who's close. It is good to have this desire to see the Lord, to want to worship the true God, not just satisfied to hear Him from a distance, to be in the crowd that hears His teaching, but I want to get up close. I want to see Him. I want to understand more about Him. Many people down through time have had this desire. I want to see the Lord. I want to know something about Him. In Luke chapter 9, Luke 19, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. The word of Jesus coming to town went ahead of Jesus. I imagine there were people that ran ahead and said, Jesus is coming. And can you imagine that word spreading through the village? Can you imagine the excitement that people felt having heard about the Lord and then to realize He's actually coming to our town? I imagine that there were shopkeepers that closed shop to make sure that they could be there to see the Lord when He came. And I imagine that there were mothers that said, Son, run, tell your father, Jesus is coming. We want to see Him. You know, it's something important. Go get your brothers and sisters. Let's all go to see the Lord. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who He was. You know, that's important, isn't it? Knowing who the Lord is. I remember one time interviewing with the director of engineering at a major company, and he was telling me about the man that was over the entire division. And someone asked him, do you know who he is? And he was saying, no, but I am sure going to find out. That was important to him, to know who this important man was. Well, this became important to Zacchaeus. He wanted to see Jesus, not just out of curiosity, but I want to know who He is. There is something about this man that has drawn me, not just curiosity. I want a relationship with Him. And he could not for the press because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now, can you imagine this little man running? Sounds like a child, doesn't it? And all these people wanting to see Jesus, so eager that he couldn't even get to see Him well. So what does he do but climb up a tree? Well, this was an important man. He was a rich man. And perhaps some people made fun of him. Shorty, what you doing up in the tree? But he was not going to let any of that stop him from seeing Jesus. To see who he was, This man had a need in his life. In spite of his riches, in spite of his social standing, there was something longing in his heart. I need to see this man. There's something about him that I've got to know that. And I appreciate the fact that he was willing to press, willing to ignore any humiliation. I'm going to get to see that man. Imagine the excitement as people were hearing about Jesus coming. The types of things that they were saying. They say this man changes water into wine. They say he can walk on water. They say he heals sickness, all manner of sickness. Can you imagine the things that were going around about Jesus? It's no wonder people had a desire to see him. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Jesus said, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Who has heard the report of the Lord today? Have you had a desire? I want to see Jesus. I believe he's passed by in this meeting. And could it be that you just see him from a distance? That you're not like Zacchaeus that really wanted to know who he was? That admired him, that desired a close relationship with him? When there is somebody that we truly admire, we have a tendency to want to get around that person, spend some time. I want to know who you are. I want to know what makes you think the way you do, because I admire you. Mark chapter 6. And verse 31, Jesus said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. They wanted to see Jesus. So many that they couldn't even have peace to have a meal. Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. He saw their desire to see him. I'm glad that when we truly want to see Jesus, he's willing to teach us many things. He's willing to open himself up to us. When we don't count him as just some famous person, some curiosity that's passing by, that he will open himself to us. John the Baptist was dead. These people were hurting. And the news came through the disciples to Jesus. And he says, Come apart for a while. Let us rest. Jesus responded to their need. And here, no doubt, some of these other people were the followers of John the Baptist. And what did they do but flock to Jesus? They wanted to see him. They recognized the need that they had. In Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Where is Jesus? We saw something and we made this long trip to come and worship him. The Lord still reveals himself to wise people that want to see Jesus, that from the depths of their heart, no matter how long the trip is, no matter how great the hardships, I want to come and I want to see this one. Verse 7, Then Herod, when he privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. They saw what they were looking for. Yeah. And what did they do when they got a vision of Jesus? They fell down. They worshipped him. And it says they opened up their treasures. When we get a vision of Jesus, what can we do but fall down and worship him and open up the very treasures of our hearts? I want to ask you today, do you have a vision of Jesus? One that is so great that that's what you do. You fall down before him and you worship him and you give him every treasure you have. That is a true vision of Jesus. There are still people today that are wise like these men, that are willing to pay any price, that are true worshipers of God. Some people have desired to see Jesus for the wrong reason. Luke chapter 23. Luke 23 and verse 8. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him in many words, but he answered him nothing. Desiring to see Jesus. This is a curiosity. I've heard about some of these miracles, and here I have him right in the palace, and maybe I'm going to see something exciting. You know, the scribes and Pharisees demanded of Jesus, show us a sign that we may believe. They wanted to see Jesus too, didn't they? But for what reason? Curiosity. Let's see a little show here. Let's see some great sign. I would be impressed with a miracle. Wouldn't you like to see somebody walking on water? Let's watch this. But Jesus is looking for people that are truly seeking him. It's beyond curiosity. It's beyond a famous man. I believe even the Muslims accept Jesus as being a prophet, but they don't accept him as the last prophet or as divine, as the Son of God. They see Jesus. They give him a certain amount of respect, but have they really seen him spiritually? That's my thought today, that we have a spiritual vision of Jesus, that he's more than a famous man that said wise sayings. A lot of people will acknowledge that. In John chapter 6, verse 24, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Seeking Jesus, desiring to see Jesus for the wrong reasons, for selfish reasons. In John chapter 1, and verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? What are you looking for? That's what I want to ask you today. What are you looking for in life? They were looking for Jesus. They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, Come and see. Master, where do you live? I am not satisfied to be a part of the group. that hears your sayings and then goes on my way. I want to know you in a closer way.
Yes.
I want an intimate relationship with you. I want to be around you and have a close communion. That's truly seeing Jesus, not just some famous figure passing by in the distance. In John chapter 20, verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. She saw the man. She saw the figure, but she really did not see Jesus in her heart. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. He opened her eyes. She got a vision of the Savior.
Yes.
Here was a woman that loved him. She was there weeping at his grave. And she longed to see him. Now I want you to think what it would be like. Someone that you loved dearly, and you had one more opportunity to speak to that person. That's part of the thing that hurts so bad, realizing I can never talk to them again in this life. I can never say, I love you one more time. But Jesus, when he said Mary, when he spoke her name, somehow her spiritual vision was open and she saw the Lord. She saw Jesus. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And I imagine she was ready to fall at his feet. But he said, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. Do you have a vision of Jesus today? Is your spiritual sight good enough? Do you love him that much that you are able to see him spiritually? Luke chapter 24. Verse 13. Behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one with to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things that are come to pass there in these days? He said unto them, What things? And they went on to tell him about Jesus, how he was crucified, and how they thought that he was going to be the Redeemer of Israel, and how he rose again, well, not how he rose again, but how women went to the sepulchre, and they saw the angels. Verse 25, Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone on further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with him, he took bread, and he blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said unto him, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scripture? That's a part of our vision of Jesus. When we recognize this brother has the same spirit that I have, when we are reading the Scripture and it is rich to us and the tears come to our faces, that is seeing Jesus. We went to the Passion Play, I believe it's called, at somebody's invitation. And to be honest, I didn't get a whole lot out of that. And my comment to one of the ones that invited us was, really, I get more by reading the Bible of that account than I did at the play. Oh, not me. That play is what really does it for me. Well, that's not what helps me see Jesus. There is something about a spiritual vision of Jesus that does more than all the drama, all the acting out. It's a spiritual thing. It's not something outwardly. I'm glad that the Lord is still revealing Himself to true seekers. Amen. Have you seen Jesus today? Do you have this spiritual vision of Him? Or is it just some famous figure? Something your parents knew about, taught you about? Have you seen Him for yourself? To the point that your heart burns within you. Amen. Doesn't the song say something about when the Zion, songs of Zion are floating above, my heart rejoices? So that is having a vision of Jesus. That's a spiritual understanding of Him.
Amen.
Acts chapter 8 gives the account of Philip and the eunuch. Verse 29, the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up in to sit with him. Now this man, I believe, was another righteous man. He went all the way from Ethiopia to worship at Jerusalem. He was trusted enough to have charge of all the queen's treasure. A righteous man. And on his way back, he still was seeking for something, wasn't he? You know, the Lord is still seeing people that are honestly seeking for Jesus, that in their hearts, from the depths of their hearts, are saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. I know that you're connected with Him. Will you show me where He lives? Will you let me get up close to Him too? So, Philip explained the Scripture to him and told him about Jesus. And through verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Amen. He opened this man's eyes to Jesus to the point that he said, Here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? He was baptized, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the man went on his way rejoicing. He got a vision of Jesus.
Amen.
It was something that he was so glad, he embraced it and he accepted. Doubting Thomas, John chapter 20. John 20 and verse 24. Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. When the other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord, he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus. And the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Is that your vision of Jesus? My Lord and my God. His spiritual eyes were opened up, and he had a true vision of Jesus at that point. But I want you to notice that what Jesus told Thomas right after that. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. That's you and that's me. I have felt, should I say, cheated, that I didn't get to see the Lord here on this earth. I have felt envious at those apostles. I have felt envious at John that got to lie on his bosom. Peter that got to ask so many questions. Those folks got to go up in the Mount of Transfiguration. I didn't get to be there. But I was comforted by this thought that there's a special blessing pronounced on us. That those of us that did not see him in the flesh, we are blessed because we have believed even though we did not see him. The Lord wants us to have a spiritual vision of Jesus today. Jesus is hidden from unbelievers. He was hidden from unbelievers when Jesus walked the earth. There he was. They saw him. Same man that the believers saw. But they did not really see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Matthew chapter 12, Matthew 12 and 38, Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. People are going to stand before the judgment. And Jesus has passed by right in this meeting. A greater than Solomon, a greater than Jonas. And they did not even see Jesus when he passed by. What a serious thing to have our vision of Jesus obscured by not being a believer. In John, the first chapter, verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Yes. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The world didn't even know him. They saw him outwardly, but spiritually their eyes were holding. This, in Isaiah, it says in chapter 53, verse 2, He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. People expected a king to come, perhaps on a white horse, setting up a throne. And you know, they're still looking for that today.
Yes,
when Jesus is going to come back, they say, and set up all this thing in Jerusalem. They're still looking for that. But when he came, here he was, carpenter's son, born in a manger, probably not too good looking, and he passed right by them, and they did not even see him.
Right.
He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. What a sad thing. Son of God, King of glory, here on earth with man, God with us, and they missed it. They're still looking for the Messiah to come. I noticed when I was in the business world, that there were people that were in the upper echelon of management. And when we would have a kind of like a relaxed get-together, people standing around together, the upper management tended to all gravitate over to one little group. And it was partly to be noticed what group they were in, who was able to rub elbows with the big boys. That's what people are looking for. But Jesus, the ones that were looking for that kind of thing, when Jesus came, they missed him altogether. And I'm thinking about us as saints, the kinds of people that we reach out to. Here we are, we haven't been to seminary. We may not have a whole lot of education. We may not be very good looking. We may not be the polished speakers that you can hear in some of these mega churches. But have we missed Jesus? Are we able to see him in our brethren?
Amen.
Is Jesus passing us by? Are those the things that we're looking for to try to see Jesus? He was despised and rejected of men. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Someone brought out this scripture in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, in a way that I had never considered it before. 1 Corinthians 11 and 27. Speaking of the Lord's Supper, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Now, I had always thought of this as not having the proper respect for sacred things and being unworthy to partake of the Lord's Supper. But someone brought this out in a different way. They said, they use this in reference to having the proper respect for God's church and his children, not discerning the Lord's body. See, an humble people, a people that are not pretentious, maybe small numbers, maybe people whose grammar isn't too good, and not discerning it, having more respect for something else. You know, this is the body of the Lord. That humble brother, the one that may not be too popular, that's the Lord's body. Yeah. Are we discerning it? Are we able to see Jesus when Jesus passes by? That's Jesus. That doesn't it say that if you give a cup in my name, you've done it unto me? Doesn't it teach us about getting down and washing each other's feet? Are we just washing the most popular person's feet? I want us to have a good vision of Jesus. I want to have a good vision of Jesus. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. Many people have not truly seen Jesus. But this is the way it's going to be in the last day. "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." All the spiritual blindness is going to be gone at that point.
Right.
Muhammad is going to bow his knee and say, "Jesus is Lord."
Yeah.
Buddha is going to acknowledge with his mouth, "Jesus is Lord." All the atheists, I have a saying, there are no dead atheists. Is that true?
Yes.
There are no dead atheists. When you die, your spiritual vision is suddenly 100%. "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Every worker of iniquity, every fornicator, every adulterer, every thief shall see him, and they also which pierce him." Do we believe in respecting the dead? I do. Some people delight in disrespecting a dead body. Maybe cut it up into a lot of pieces. Drag it through the street. Make videos to show on YouTube and look what we did to the infidel. Disrespecting a dead body. These people did it to our Lord and Savior. Pierced his side. But it says they will see him. And all kindreds of the earth shall well because of him. Even so, amen. We will all have a vision of Jesus someday. Lord, help us all that our vision will be clear in this life, that we will discern the body of Christ and recognize these are the true people of God, and not be looking for the King coming through in a great Popemobile, in all the fine mega churches. Look what all those folks are doing. Where are we? We better have something from the Lord.
Amen.
We better take the Word and the Spirit together.
Yes.
What good is it for us to go share the Word and haven't been living the life? How can we give people a vision of Jesus?
Yes.
You know, Jesus comes in humble ways that people don't even recognize.
That's right.
We don't have to have a lot of drama and entertainment, polished speakers, seminary degrees, and all of this thing to let people see Jesus. I'm glad the Lord can give us a vision of Jesus, a spiritual vision.
Yes,
and Lord, help us to be able to share that with other people.